This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Most of the news stories we read or see that relate to poverty get to the issue through some other lens: crime, unemployment, housing issues. But writer Brendan O'Brien set out to cover poverty differently in an ongoing series of reports for the online Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service. O'Brien's series focuses on poverty as a way of life in the neighborhoods on Milwaukee's north side, and he joins us in the Lake Effect studio to share some of the backstory. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Poverty in Milwaukee seems like an enormous undertaking for a series. How did you conceive of it, and how did you set out to make it manageable?
We conceived of it a couple months ago when we realized that it's the 50th anniversary of LBJ waging war on poverty. And my intention, my goal has always been to, as a reporter, to get away from what decisions are being made in Washington and Madison and get down to the narrative of how people make decisions, how consumers make decisions, how people operate and run their lives.
Did you find there was a story about poverty that just wasn't being told?
Yes. And that story is around the poor's balance sheets, in terms of on one side they have income and entitlements, and on the other side they have bills like the rest of us. They have mortgages and rents and utilities. And the story that wasn't being told is how they make ends meet, how they find a way to make the extra $100 for their very tight balance sheets to work every month.
Did you find that one part of the series led to another? Did you have all of these mapped out in advance?
No, I did not have all these mapped out. I still don't. What's extraordinary about the series is I'm working in this area between Wisconsin and Capitol and Highway 43 and 60th on the west. And so I go in this area every couple days and find stories. And what's amazing to me is the richness and the depth of the stories I find. So, for instance, I was doing a story about SNAP and food stamp benefits, and I realized that there's more to the story in terms of where people get their food and how they shop for produce and food. And so I started going into convenience stores, and that led to an entire story about convenience stores and what they mean to the community and what they're all about.
And that was really one of the remarkable parts of this series that really struck me. I mean, convenience stores or corner grocery stores have gotten a lot of criticism from kind of outside of these neighborhoods. People say that they don't have enough fresh produce. But you write that the people who live in these neighborhoods are really pretty appreciative of the role that they serve.
Yes, they are. They rely on these grocery stores, not just in these convenience stores, not just for their food and the gallon of milk here and the toilet paper there. What they rely on is these grocery stores, these convenience stores are part of their neighborhoods, part of their blocks. And so some of these owners give out IOUs, and one store owner I spoke with even donates money and items to funerals for people who have been killed by the violence in the neighborhoods. I found it extraordinary that there is this. They're part of the fabric. They're also a social part of the fabric of these communities or these neighborhoods, in terms of they act as a gathering place. People mingle in these stores. They watch basketball games. They talk about politics. They talk about what's happening on the street. It's really a fascinating look. I went into about 30 of them. And every one I went into, there was a different story and different vibe to them.
Well, and one of the things that really struck me was at least one of the owners was saying, you know, on one hand, he has a problem with kids who come in to shoplift and steal things. And on the other hand, he doesn't have any problem giving IOUs or donating food items and other things to people who really can't afford something, say, at the end of the month.
It's the nature of their business. They're business owners, they're small business owners, and they really believe in what they're doing, and they believe in the long-term benefits for both them and their communities. So it is the cost of doing business. Shoplifting is just a nature of being a convenience store owner. On the other hand, you have to give back because you have to build trust, especially with the poor.
Another, I guess, similar story you did was about the phenomenon of street mechanics.
Yeah.
These are people who are serving the same role as mechanics in other parts of town in other ways, but in a real distinctive sort of way.
That story, again, was a derivative of just driving around the neighborhoods and seeing what was going on in the neighborhoods, getting out of my car and talking to people. And what I realized was I would drive around, and especially on hot days, warm days in the spring, there would be a lot of cars that would have their hoods up and people in their heads inside the cars fixing them. And so I wanted to find out a little bit about that. And what I realized, it was the poor rely on the poor. They rely on their family members. They rely on the people that live in their neighborhood, their neighbors. And it's a sort of a hidden economy that goes on. When a car breaks down, you don't call a tow truck. You call your best friend's brother who knows how to fix cars. And there's also a trust that goes on here too. They trust – when you're poor, you tend to trust those that are around you more often than, let's say, someone you've never met that is 20 miles away or 5 miles away who you now have to deal with to get your car, a vital part of your life, fixed on time to get to work the next day. So there is this trust thing that goes on, and I find that the poor tend to trust those people that are closest to them, both in family and both geographically.
And these mechanics, they're basically just charging for labor. They tell the people what kind of part they need. They wait for them to come out of the auto parts store, and they're charging less for labor than you'd find at a more traditional garage.
Yeah, in some cases they would charge less, but there's a value to what they're charging too. You don't get the guarantees. You don't get the warranties with them, but you do get a handshake. You do get they're not wearing a Midas or a Meineke shirt. They're the regular Joe Schmoes. And again, they're friends and they're family members. So you get this, in a way, you get a different type of trust.
Both that story and the one about convenience stores and many of the other parts of this series, actually, what really I think struck me was that they're not about how people aren't getting by. They are about how people are scraping by, if only just barely.
Yeah. And the interesting thing for me about the series, the most surprising thing about this series is that poverty tends to be thought of as a statistic. And when I start driving through these neighborhoods and on these blocks, what I realize is poverty has a smell, a feel, a vibe to it, a language to it. There's a culture. It's built on community. It's built on trust, built on faith. And it's amazing how much, for a journalist, it's amazing how much richness there is there just by driving around and talking to people, chatting with people, having discussions about their lives.
It sounds like there's a lot more resilience there than people might be normally giving the poor credit for.
There's a lot more resilience. There's a lot more hope. They're ingenious about how they go about their lives. I also find this entire conversation and narrative about the poor being lazy is downright false. It's hard work to be poor. Poverty takes a physical, emotional, mental toll. And to get up every day and figure out how you're going to put food on the table for your children without a regular steady paycheck, and they still get it done, is amazing to me.
Where do you go next?
Continue to go into the streets of Milwaukee and find the stories about Milwaukeeans' way of life and how they deal. And the next story that I think I'll tackle is there is a habit, a part of the hidden economy of landscaping. And there's people out there that knock on doors and mow lawns for a living. They knock on doors of their neighbors and they go out there and mow their lawns for $20 a lawn. And that's how they make their living. And so that's the next probably story that I'll do.
Brendan O'Brien, thanks so much. We'll be reading.
Thanks.
Brendan O'Brien is a reporter with the online Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service. You'll find a link to his series on poverty in Milwaukee from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. The Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service itself is the subject of an academic analysis by journalist Herbert Lowe. We'll find out what his study revealed about the news service's place in the modern journalism universe when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.